Good afternoon. This is Ed Walsh with the Mahomet Citizen for the week of March 12, 2018. We will begin today's reading on the front page with this article. It's under the banner of Mahomet Police Department. And the headline reads, "Latest addition to force is here to help." Officer Tom Favo says his goal is to treat everyone with respect. Aiming to build a rapport with the community, the Mahomet Police Department's newest officer hit the ground running with his now 6-month stint in the blue uniform. Meet Officer Tom Favo, a University of Windsor, that's as in Windsor, Ontario, graduate who studied criminology. Though he began his college career as a business major, it only took one semester for Favo to realize that pencil pushing just wasn't for him. "I went into college not really knowing what I wanted to do," Favo said. "I knew I was never a 9-to-5 office type of guy. I had a few friends in the criminal justice program, and even at that point I didn't realize this was 100% what I wanted to be. But I got interested in it and did a couple of ride-alongs with the local PD." Breaking free of the mundane routine, Favo's law enforcement career brought him and his family, which now consists of his fiancée and 3 children, to Champaign, where he served as an officer at Parkland College. While he enjoyed his time at Parkland and working alongside the faculty, Favo also expressed his dealings with the stereotyping of policing. "In Champaign, the public that we dealt with was just very different. You were just looked at kind of in a negative light," he said. "Here, what's super different is you're driving down the street and people wave at you, and it's a genuine wave, you know, 'How you doing?'" At Parkland, Favo quickly fell into the routine of not responding to waves from people. As he shared, they were often facetious. Now in Mahomet, he is happily adjusting to the genuine community support of the police department. "Here, I get it all the time, and now I've gotten used to it," Favo said. "But in the beginning, I would just see people wave, and I wouldn't wave back. And I said, that's not the persona I want to give off, so now I'm really good at waving back at everybody." Favo's favorite policing duty is helping people. "It's just a good feeling," he said. Often overlooked by bigger cities with larger departments are petty crimes, which Favo takes satisfaction in knowing the Mahomet Police Department's effort to assist every victim, no matter the size of the crime. "I like helping people," Favo said. "I like when people are in need and they call the police. If you can make them feel better or solve a crime, it's a good feeling." He also enjoys receiving countless thank yous when he's able to solve a theft report or other petty crimes. "You can hear the emotion in their voice," he said. "It just makes you feel good." Referring to himself as a huge sports fan, Favo's favorites include golf and personal training. "I'm kind of a fitness guru," he joked. He's also a family man, with 3 children ranging from 5 months old to 5 years old. Favo also noted his family as taking an enormous role in his life. "Having kids is a game changer, and once you have them, your priorities or what you thought was important in life really do change. It becomes all about the kids." Favo's main goal with the police department is to build a relationship with the community. He welcomes residents to stop by and say hello if they notice him out and about. Eager to take his approachable attitude into the line of duty, Favo hopes his efforts lessen the impact of negative publicity about policing. "If you can change that one person at a time, one day at a time, and make people think, you know, that officer wasn't too bad, it's a good feeling," he said. Though he personally has yet to experience negative connotations with the uniform, Favo said other officers told him people often see no difference between the brown and blue uniforms, which distinguishes the Champaign County, State, or even Mahomet police officers. "At the end of the day, we're all humans and different on the inside," he said. "Just because you've dealt with 3 officers and you felt that they were disrespectful to you, Give me the benefit of the doubt and judge how our interaction goes at the end. Don't go into it thinking, great, he's wearing a badge and a gun, so he must be one of them. Pavo is confident that none of the officers at the Mahomet Police Department interact with those they encounter disrespectfully. However, he asks locals, let his actions speak for themselves. Pavo's approach is to treat everyone with respect, regardless if he is on or off duty. Criminals are people, too, he said. I treat every call like that, respectfully, knowing that if I'm walking through the store with my wife and my kids, I want the person that I arrested a month ago to point to his wife and say, hey, there's the Mahomet officer who arrested me. He, unlike other officers that dealt with me before, he treated me fair, and he seems to be a good guy. That's a win in my book. Favo hopes to purchase a home in Mahomet soon and serve a long career with the village. He's committed to the department and welcomes any resident to spark friendly conversation with him. To contact Officer Favo, call the non-emergency police number at 217-586-5533. And next on the front page, we have this article. It's under the banner of property tax rates. And the headline reads, Equalization Factor Remains Unchanged. It's tax time again, and the Illinois Department of Revenue just issued property tax rates for the 2017. For anyone interested in learning how these percentages get calculated, the answer is quite a long process. The Department of Revenue issued Champaign County's final property assessment equalization factor for the 2017 tax year. The equalization factor is determined annually, and this year's equalization factor of 1, and that's 1.0000, is the same as last year's. According to the Illinois Department of Revenue, the purpose of the state multiplier is to equalize assessments between counties. This ensures that property owners with comparable holdings across the state are paying similar tax rates. Equalization factors also ensure uniform tax rates across local taxing districts that overlap. Such districts would include separate counties that share the same school district, junior college district, or fire protection district. In 1975, Illinois passed a law that property in Illinois should be assessed at 1/3 of its market value. This uniform assessment value of 33.33% can vary from county to county or within a county due to the complexity of the assessment process and the different opinions of value that individuals conducting assessments hold. A county's property assessment equalization value is based on a county's property assessment percentage. Counties with the uniform assessment value of 33.33% have a property equalization factor of 1, which does not alter the original assessment value. Counties with an assessment value less than 33.33% will have an equalization factor greater than 1, and counties with an assessment value greater than 33.33% will have an equalization factor less than 1. The state multiplier is based on sales ratio studies from the 3 years immediately before the current tax year, which includes 2016, 15, and 14. The Department of Revenue bases the state multiplier on 3 years of sales to ensure predictability despite market fluctuation. Still confused? The Illinois Department of Revenue provides this example from their website. The assessment is based on a $90,000 home. County A, the multiplier is 1. The home is assessed at $30,000 with an EAV of $30,000. That's $30,000 times 1 equals $30,000. County B, the multiplier is 2. The home is assessed at $15,000 with an EAV of $30,000. That's $15,000 times 2 equals $30,000. The homes in County B were originally under-assessed. The county's equalization factor of 2 has corrected the effects of this under-assessment. The new value of the home is called the EAV, Equalized Assessment Value. Because Champaign County's property assessment value of 33.24% is in line with the state's property assessment value of 33.33%, Champaign County's state multiplier, equalization factor that is, remains at 1. This means that a $90,000 home in Champaign County is assessed at $29,916. This number is calculated by multiplying the home's full value by the property assessment value of 33.24. That's $90,000 times 0.3324 equals $29,916. The state multiplier of 1 is then applied to the assessment value of $29,916. Because the state multiplier is 1, the equalized assessment value remains the same, $29,916. Here's another hypothetical example. Champaign County house valued at $150,000. The property assessment value, $150,000 times 0.3324, which equals $49,860. The equalized assessment value, $49,860 times 1. Taxes will be based on the home's equalized assessed value of $49,860. Farmland is not included in this assessment process. All farmland in Illinois is assessed based on 1/3 of its agricultural economic value. Farmland is also not subject to the state equalization factor. What does all of this information mean for the village of Mahomet? All property in Mahomet, excluding farmland, has been assessed at a percentage of 33.24%. Since the county's equalization factor is 1, 33.24% of a home's value is the final number that this year's property taxes will be based off of. To learn more about how property taxes are calculated, visit the Illinois Department of Revenue's website at tax.illinois.gov. You can also access its publication on property taxes at tax.illinois.gov/publications/pubs/pub-136.pdf. And finally, from the front page, we have this article. It's under the banner of Mahomet Seymour FFA. And the headline reads, "Not Just Cows and Plows." And students say club teaches them important life sessions. Smiles and laughter filled the room in a crowd of both young and old during Sunday's third annual dinner and dessert auction in the Commons area at Mahomet Seymour High School. "This is the first time we've had a line," said Jennifer Worley, MS Agriculture teacher and FFA chapter advisor. Raising more than $10,000 for the 93-member high school chapter, community members gathered to celebrate the agriculture program with an evening of fun and food. "FFA has really grown, and it's cool to see the community come out," said Senior Noah Benedict, the FFA chapter's president. "Everyone's smiling and talking with the FFA members." With the success of Sunday's event, Worley credits the FFA's two dinner and dessert auction chairs, Senior Jaden Klaus, the chapter's vice president, and Michael Myerskoff, the junior vice president. "Tonight helps us raise enough funds to help with next year's goals," Klaus said. Proceeds benefit the students and allow them to compete in area competitions, such as the career development events, which are contests that involve area FFA chapters in both individual and team competitions. Students also hope to perform at the national competition in Indianapolis, as well as the American Royal, a livestock judging competition in Kansas City. "The exciting part of being Mahomet Seymour's FFA advisor is that they continue to advance to state and national levels, which is definitely something that's attributed to their talent and leadership," Worley said. "It also means more registration fees and hotel fees that go along with something like that." Last year, according to Worley, the school had one national finalist in the American Royal Livestock Judging Competition and two students who won at nationals. The dinner and dessert auction is a great way for us to fund future award winners, so we appreciate that support from the community, Worley said. Lending his support as the evening's auctioneer, Andy Bush's booming voice helped auction more than a dozen desserts to community members. It's a fun time, Bush said. We have some ag businesses that come out and really show their support for the FFA. Crediting attendance records to the evening's raffle item, a 49-inch smart TV, which was won by Todd Hubble. Worley said Fisher National Bank of Mahomet's donation yielded an increased community response. For Worley, events such as Sunday's dinner and dessert auction provide students the opportunity to not only work hard, but also to see the genuine support of community members. The community support gives them an extra push, Worley said. Events like this are another way to watch our students grow, but also recognize them in a manner that lets them know that we're behind them. With the support of the community behind them, Sunday's dinner and dessert auction allowed senior officers to reflect on their time in the FFA chapter. Brianna Bone, a senior and the FFA secretary, said she enjoys the opportunities FFA provides to meet new people and to venture into the community. I never would have done that if it weren't for FFA, she added. Interested in studying biology in college, Bone credits FFA for providing her leadership roles that better prepared her for real-world experiences. FFA taught me to be more comfortable with stepping into teaching roles and working with younger students, she said. Echoing Bone's thoughts, Jenna Ward, a senior and the chapter's sentinel, said even though she will pursue a nursing degree, the FFA chapter provided her countless tools for college preparation. I've done a lot of interviewing, communicating, and talking with the public, Ward said. Despite the chapter's agricultural focus, Klaus also views FFA as a way for students to get their feet wet. FFA may show students what they want to do in their future, she said, and the national conventions are a lot of fun, too. The dinner and dessert auction was also enjoyed by the FFA's younger members, such as Hunter Crow, an eighth grader. With his overall passion for agriculture extending back to his family roots, Crow said his favorite part of FFA is the competitions. Placing ninth overall in the dairy and cheese state competitions held at the University of Illinois, the junior high student's mother, Erica Crow, said the competitions and the chapter provide her son a sense of responsibility. For Myerscough, FFA provides more than ag-based learning. FFA taught me a lot about leadership, and it taught me how to make a difference, he said. First hearing about FFA at her former school in Sullivan, Cameron Hacker, a sophomore and junior sentinel, found the chapter to be a unique opportunity to further her interest in becoming a botanist and or studying insecticide resistance. It helped me grow as a person, she said. FFA itself is rewarding and makes you feel accomplished. You learn about things that are beneficial to everyone, not just cows and plows. Freshman Braden Bone, who just applied to become an FFA officer, said many students would be astonished if they looked past the stereotypes of agriculture. There's such a broad spectrum available that when students really take the time to learn about it, their whole earth is shattered, he said. Aspiring to become a highly ranked chapter officer one day, Bone looks no further than the walls of the agriculture room for inspiration, which is covered in achievements of past and present members. Some of those achievements are from my family members, he said. FFA is really just a big family. Creating a family of FFA students is Worley's intention. The 10-year MS agriculture teacher said she enjoys the long tradition of students applying themselves and having the opportunity to see students succeed in the agriculture industry. The opportunity to help students reach their goals is something invigorating, Worley said. You can work for a company and help them obtain their bottom line, but there's nothing more exciting or more rewarding than helping a student. And this is under the heading of Next on the Agenda. Upcoming events for the MSFFA chapter include the banquet, where the FFA will recognize new officers and provide an award ceremony at Farm Credit Illinois, 1100 Farm Credit Drive, at 6:30 p.m. on Thursday, April 26th. Other chapter events include 4 plant sales at the high school's greenhouse. Those dates include April 24th from 5 to 7 p.m., May 4th from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., May 5th from 9 a.m. to noon, and May 12th from 8 a.m. to noon. To learn more about upcoming MSFFA chapter events, visit their Facebook page. And now, turning to page A5, under obituaries, we have the following death notices of local and area interest. Kathy Christina Chaplin, age 80, of Posotum, peacefully passed from this life to the next on February 27, 2018, at her home. Visitation was on Saturday, March 3, 2018, from 1 to 3 p.m. at Ingram Funeral Home in Albion, followed by a celebration of life service at 3 p.m. Burial took place in Marianne Cemetery, rural West Salem. Arthur Donald Kemplin, 94, of Farmer City, passed away at 1:17 p.m. Monday, February 26, 2018, at home. Visitation was from noon to 2 p.m. Friday, March 2, 2018, at Calvert Belongi Bruce Funeral Home in Farmer City. A funeral service followed at 2 p.m., also at the funeral home. Pastor Danny McCubbins officiated. Burial was in Greenleaf Cemetery, Farmer City, with military rites accorded. Rob Kirk, 52, of Mahomet, formerly of Chicago, died at 12:30 p.m. Friday, March 2, 2018, at Carl Foundation Hospital. Funeral services were at 5 p.m. Friday, March 9th, at Lamb Funeral Home, 303 North Church Street in Gibson City. Visitation was from 3 to 5 p.m. Friday at the funeral home. William F. Bill Maxwell, 88, of Farmer City, passed away at 9:27 p.m. Sunday, March 4, 2018, at home. A mass of Christian burial was at 10:30 a.m. Thursday, March 8, 2018, at Sacred Heart Catholic Church in Farmer City. Father James Henning, OFM, officiated. Visitation was from 4 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, March 7, 2018, at Calvert Belongi Bruce Funeral Home, 106 North Main Street in Farmer City. A rosary service was at 3:30 p.m. Wednesday, March 7, 2018, at the funeral home. Burial was in St. Joseph Cemetery, Farmer City, with military rites accorded. Memorials may be made to the Alzheimer's Association. Harold A. Myerscough, 76, of Seymour, passed away at 7:07 a.m. Saturday, March 3, 2018, at Blessing Hospital in Quincy. Visitation was held from 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday, March 8, 2018, at Mackey Wright Funeral Home in Monticello. Private family services were planned. Memorial donations may be made to the Seymour Fire Department. Dorothy Irene Reel, 90, of Champaign, died on Saturday, February 24, 2018, at Helia Healthcare of Champaign. There was a memorial mass at 10:30 a.m. on Friday, March 16, at Holy Cross Catholic Church, 403 West Clark Street in Champaign. Friends may greet the family after the mass at a funeral luncheon in the Holy Cross Parish Center. Burial was to be in Oakwood Memorial Park in Ottawa on Saturday, March 17th. John Robert Weir, Jr., 68, of Mahomet, passed away unexpectedly on March 3rd. There was a funeral mass at noon on Saturday, March 10th, at Our Lady of the Lake Catholic Church, 503 West State Street in Mahomet. Visitation was from 2 hours prior to the service, 10 a.m. to noon, at the church. Burial was to be in the St. Boniface Catholic Cemetery in Seymour. And now, returning to the news and views, we have this article on page A3. It's entitled, Celebrating Dr. Seuss's Birthday. Middletown Prairie Elementary students entered the Dr. Seuss-themed hallways of their school last week in celebration of National Read Across America Week and Seuss's March the 2nd birthday. Tracy Wade's kindergarten class read some of Seuss's classics throughout the week, including The Cat in the Hat, Fox in Socks, One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish, and Ten Apples Up on Top. The class participated in fun art activities, such as tracing their hands to make fish in an effort to resemble the One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish book. Parents brought in snacks for the class throughout the week. Kids even wore wacky clothes for Wacky Wednesday Fun, which included the children coloring on taped pieces of paper underneath their desks. It's just fun, Wade said. It's so developmental for them. And while we're talking about Middletown, we have this article that's headlined, it's under the banner of kindergarten registration, and the headline reads, Middletown Sign-Up Starts. The Mahomet Seymour School District launched its kindergarten enrollment for the new Middletown Prairie Elementary School last Wednesday. Parents and guardians may register children who are age 5 on or before September 1st for the 2018-19 school year. Kindergarten enrollment is a multi-step process, Middletown Prairie Elementary School principal Wendy Starwalt said. That's why we wanted to start with the very first step as registration. In May, the school district will begin the additional steps, which include providing a certified birth certificate, immunization records, dental and vision examinations, and a kindergarten screening. New to the requirements this year is the kindergarten screening, where parents meet with Middletown Prairie Elementary School staff for a basic screening. Starwalt said the process will take between 5 and 30 minutes. The screening was at the request of the teachers, and honestly, I've been a part of other kindergarten screenings where I've been before, Starwalt said. It gives us the baseline information of how a student is coming to us, whether they know their letters or sounds. Some will arrive as readers already. That information will help us set up our class lists so that we have a good heterogeneous group. Parents and guardians of a soon-to-be kindergartner should register their child by visiting the Mahomet Seymour Schools District's website at ms.k12.il.us and by searching for Kindergarten Roundup. Again, that Mahomet Seymour School District's website is for the kindergarten sign-up is ms.k12.il.us and search for Kindergarten Roundup. And finally for today, we have Word on the Street with Savannah Bennett. These are comments or answers to the question, what store would you like to see in the new strip mall? Starbucks, because it would be good right before school and it's quicker than the place inside IGA. I would like to see a small version of an Ulta, maybe, just so that us girls don't have to drive to Champaign to get our daily makeup products. In the new strip mall, I would like to see a Steak and Shake, because I feel like there's not enough good restaurants in Mahomet, and a Steak and Shake would be a good addition. And I personally think that a sporting goods store of sorts would be nice. I and lots of people I know play sports, and it's kind of inconvenient to have to go to Champaign whenever we need some type of new equipment. Plus, the store could sell athletic clothing, which would also be pretty nice. This has been the Mahomet Citizen for the week of March 11th or 12th, 2018. I look forward to reading with you again soon. For Illinois Radio Reader, I'm Ed Walsh.